turrets, its widow's walk, from the seawall beyond its grand entrance doors. Many eyes had looked down toward the village of Pool's Bay. Many eyes looked there still. Since those grand doors opened in 1794, a Pool had walked those halls. A Pool had climbed the grand staircase, gazed from the many windows, dreamed their dreams. And some had lived their nightmares. Some lived them still. A murdered bride, the first of seven doomed, would, in all innocence, carry the curse that haunted the manor. Generation by generation, it passed its shadow to the next and the next through the rage of a jealous witch. With those lost brides, others walked the labyrinth of rooms. Those who had lit the many fires, made the beds, cooked the meals, continued their duties. Others who had lifted a glass in toast, danced in the ballroom, or rocked a fretful baby in the night, toasted and danced and rocked still. In the many rooms, time came and went. Music played, clocks ticked, floors creaked as the manor waited for another generation, as it waited for one who might break the curse. More than 200 years after Astrid Granville Pool died in her wedding finery, more than 200 years after her murderer cursed the manor and leaped off the cliffs to her own death, another with pool blood walked through those grand entrance doors. Those who'd come before her watched and waited as she made the manor her own, as she dreamed her dreams, or theirs. As she walked the labyrinth, where music played and clocks ticked and floors creaked, and to the mirror, where time came and went. Carved predators frame this mirror's glass and seem to snap and snarl and slither. And its glass opens a door to what was, for her, and another with pool blood. Hands clasped, they step through the door together and become the ghosts. Chapter 1. Music that had been dim and distant poured around her now. Colors and shapes that had been blurred and indistinct on the other side of the mirror sharpened. Sonia gripped Owen's hand, the hand of the cousin she hadn't known existed only months before. That hand was warm. That hand was real. Instead of furniture stored, with white sheets draping it, people swirled around them. Women with hair piled high, long dresses flowing, and men in sharp, dark suits danced, laughed, drank. The room, the ballroom, smelled of flowers. There were so many of them. And of perfume. An orchestra played something lively and quick. She heard a woman laugh, high and bright, over the music. She saw a line of sweat slide down the temple of a man with slicked back hair as he led his partner in the dance. And she heard her own heart pounding louder than the drumbeat. When her hand trembled, Owen tightened his grip. And he said, almost casually,
"This is fucking weird."
The bubble of hysteria in her throat came out in a breathless laugh.
"I'll say. I've done it before. Gone through, but this is the first time I was awake when I did. I thought I'd dreamed it, but it's not a dream."
"Nope."
He scanned the room.
"We know where we are. It's the ballroom. Any idea when?"
1916.
I read Deuce's Pool family history book and looked through the pictures enough times to know this is Lisbeth Poole's wedding reception. A man, obviously enjoying his gin, stumbled right through her.
"Oh my God."
"That's beyond weird."
Frowning, Owen turned to her, studied her with eyes a slightly lighter shade of pool green than her own.
"Okay."
She managed a nod.
"We're the ones out of place, or time, or whatever the hell. They don't see us or feel us. Or most don't. She's not here."
"Who?"
"Hester Dobbs, murdering witch. She's not here. Not yet. This isn't her time either."
"Seeing as she'd be dead over 100 years.
"Maybe we can stop her. It's not a damn dream, so maybe we're here to stop her. 13 spider bites inside the